Book of Matthew, in chapter number 25. Matthew, chapter number 25. We spoke last week about a light, and when the Lord spoke light into existence, and some thoughts about the light. And tonight, we're going to look at a topic sort of on that line. Here in Matthew chapter 25, we'll read the text, and then we'll get into the message. And it says in verse number 1 in Matthew 25, if you're able to, let's stand, please, as we read the scriptures, and just respecting the word of God. Matthew 25, verse number 1, says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You can be seated. We're going to look at this passage real quick this evening. Have you ever run out of gas? Have you ever run out of gas? I will have to say, so far, I know I have come extremely close, but so far, I've never run out of gas while driving down the road. I've come close, but apparently many, many people have. Last year, AAA had to respond to 500,000 calls for people who had run out of gas in their car. That's a lot. That's a lot, which is really kind of unbelievable when you stop and think about it. Now, about 20, 30 years ago, it was probably more feasible because gas gauges were very less reliable and the cars used a whole lot more gas. I remember my first car was a 1973 Chevy Impala. It was huge. I remember when my dad, he brought it home and said, "This is your car." I was so embarrassed. That was the biggest car I'd ever seen in my life. I just thought everyone's going to laugh at me. And I got in that car, started it, drove down the road. And first time I drove it, I was at a red light, Dayton, Ohio, right next to the Dayton Mall. And this guy pulled up in a Trans Am next to me. And he rolled down his windows. And he said, "Hey." I said, "What?" He's about my age. We're both about 17. He said, "Does your mom know you have her car?" Oh, that one hurt. I smiled. He said, "Let's see what it's got." I was like, "All right." And the light turned green. Not that anyone should ever do this. And the light turned green, and we both took off, and I destroyed him. Just destroyed him. That Impala had the greatest engine ever. It was just a huge, big block, just took off. But literally, I say it to say this. When I hit the gas pedal, you could watch the gas meter go down, all right? It just literally, you could smell the gas and watch the meter. And when you let go of the gas, it kind of went back up. Then you hit the gas. And that was just the gas gauge, right? But loved that car. It was my favorite one I've ever had. Just loved it. It's kind of understandable. But nowadays, when you start running low on gas, bells start going off. Lights start coming on. Little signs flash, low fuel, low fuel. And even beyond that, it says 40 miles, 39, 38, 37. And it makes a countdown. all the way to zero. And most of you are like me, we're like, how far can I go on zero, right? And we just keep on driving. So with all that we have today, why do so many people run 600,000 had a call for AAA last year. Now, why do so many? We'll come back to that in a minute, because it goes with what our story's about. In this passage, we have a parable. Now, stay with me tonight. I'm going to throw a little doctrine at you. Can you handle that? All right, three of us are ready. All right, ready? Here we go. All right, doctrine's good. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this. This passage, it's a parable. The Lord's teaching some things. We looked last Thursday at light, and this week we're going to look at, you know, that ran out of oil. They no longer could light their lamp any longer. The background to this parable is simply this. Now, you got to follow along with me. All right, stay with me tonight. All right, so the background is this. This parable is directed towards Israel. Israel, they are the 10, five foolish and five wise virgins in this passage of scripture. When it talks about here, the bridegroom coming, all right, this is not the rapture, because the bride is not mentioned whatsoever. The bride is not mentioned. The bride has already been received by the bridegroom. The customs of the day. The bridegroom would go, he would receive, go to the bride's house, receive the bride, and then there would be a procession that would start. And all the friends of the bridegroom would come and they would make a procession. And if it was at night, they would all have to have their lamps ready, because at any time, they didn't know when. And they would follow the bridegroom back to the feast, where they would be rejoicing in the marriage that had taken place. And so here in this parable, Israel is represented here by these 10 virgins found in the scripture. The bridegroom has already been taken by the bride has already been taken by the bridegroom, the bride being the church, and the church is not found here, but the focus is on Israel. Now, understand, there's the rapture. That's when the Lord comes back, and all of us are going to be called up to meet him in the air. That could happen at any moment. That could happen tonight. The rapture could take place. And the church would be gathered together with him. The New Testament churches holding to that doctrine, would there be the bride with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we'd have the judgment seat of Christ and things. But then would follow the reception, the marriage supper, and that will take place at the end of those 7 years. At the end of those 7 years, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back physically to this earth. He will actually step foot. It is called the second coming. And when he comes back, that's when all of Israel will be saved. And they will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, those that remain. And so that's what's being represented here. And so let's look at this, keeping all this in mind and in context, what's going on. Then we'll make an application. Number one, you see the marriage call. The marriage call in verses 1 through 5. The very first thing we notice is the heavenly groom there in verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven. Again, we're not talking about the bride here. We're not talking about the church here. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. This is all the saved. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have here the number 10, which is the number of completion. The Lord comes and he calls. There's this call that's going to go out, and these are all called to come and meet the bridegroom as friends of the bridegroom, as their custom is, and to go with him to the reception there as they celebrate the marriage of the bridegroom and the bride. And so the call is going to be called out here in this passage of scripture. Now, what's going on? Well, we know this, that during the rapture, after the rapture, during the tribulation period, there will be many who will be saved. Now, all those who have heard the truth, but have chosen to reject the truth, Thessalonians clearly teaches that they will believe a lie and they will not be saved. But during the tribulation period, the Lord sends his two witnesses and 144,000 who will go and preach the Lord Jesus Christ to those who have not heard. And many will be saved. Look over real quick just to show you this in Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter 7. I'll show you this real quick. Revelation chapter 7, because this is just a great passage to read too. All right, looks like some need encourage tonight, so we'll try to encourage you by looking at many people that are saved. In Revelation chapter 7 and in verse number 9, first it talks about these witnesses and 144,000 that will be sent out. Verse number 9, after this I beheld, in Revelation 7, 9, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answering said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we see in this passage that there will be a great multitude that are saved out of this tribulation from every nation, from every tongue. People, you cannot even count the number of people that are saved. Now, part of this group that we're speaking about, and back in Matthew chapter 25, the Jews obviously are part of that. They are not the bride, but they are going to be part of the kingdom of God here by being saved during this tribulation time. Now, stay with me. You see the heavenly bridegroom, and now you see the Holy Ghost. Back in Matthew 25 and verse number 2, it says, And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. That they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In the Bible, oil is a representation of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot here. I need to be real quick about it. Let's make a comparison with the wise and the foolish. First of all, I would point this out, that both of them had lamps. Both of them had lamps. The five wise and the five foolish. Everybody with me? All right? Nod your head, Mickey. At least pretend. All right? All right? Everyone had lamps, the foolish and the wise. What is the lamp? I believe the lamp and the word of God, thy word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They had this. Both did. The wise and the foolish. They both, and that wasn't the problem. They both had the word of God. The difference between the wise and the foolish is that while they both had the word of God, they both had the Bible, but you'll notice that the problem was this, that they had vessels with the lamps, and five of them, their vessels, were empty. Look at Matthew 25, verse number 2, And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Everybody see that? So they had lamps and vessels. The lamp would have been some sort of torch, if you will, some sort of container the lamp would be, but the lamp was no good if it didn't have oil in it. It would have no light. There would be no fire if there was no oil. So what they would do is they would carry these lamps, but they would have vessels. And these vessels would be full of this oil. So as they burned these, they would continue to pour the oil upon the fire to keep the fire burning. Are you following me so far? The five wise had the lamp and they had the oil. The five foolish had the lamp, but they didn't have the oil. Something else they had in common is they both were looking. and they knew about the bridegroom. It wasn't like the five foolish had no idea who the bridegroom was. They knew who he was, but they didn't have oil. They both, what's important is these vessels that's talked about. Now, what could that be referring to? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Making you think tonight? But that's okay, right? It's good to study the Bible, right? All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And in verse number 7, says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The vessel, we are this vessel. And what is the biggest factor with this vessel is not who I am, and not what I look like, but what is within me. What's within me? So you have these five foolish who had the lamp. They had the lamp. Everybody follow me? They had the lamp. They had the vessel. But they didn't have the oil. And when you don't have the oil, there'll be no fire. There is no light. So you see this comparison going on. See some things they had in common. This is interesting to look at. Look down with me in verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The five foolish virgins had no oil, and they were asleep because the bridegroom had taken a long time. The five wise virgins were asleep too, because the bridegroom had taken a long time. You say, what can we possibly get out of this? The reality is this: the Lord is coming back. Amen? We ought to be looking for the return of the Lord. If you're saved, you have the lamp. Amen? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you, you have the oil. Amen? But you can have both and be sound asleep. You can have both and not be looking. You can know who the bridegroom is. You can know he's coming, but be sound asleep, because, let's face it, let's just where the passage is. He hasn't come back. I heard he's coming back. I hear he's coming, but he's not come. And we just kind of used to everything, and we begin to doze off a little bit. And while they dozed off, obviously, their lamps burned down. Because when the first thing that happens, when they're, and we'll get to this in just a second, when the cry comes out, first thing to do is trim their wicks. They got to get this light going again. And it's possible, an application, though we're not talking about the rapture, though we're not talking about the church, but an application, the whole scripture is for us. The application is this, that you and I, we have a responsibility. Are you saved tonight? Say amen. Just trying to get you actively involved in the service, all right? If you're saved tonight, you ought to rejoice. You ought to praise the Lord that you have the lamp. Praise the Lord that as a vessel, this earthen vessel that we have, it is made something to the glory of God because of what is within it, the Holy Spirit of God. And we have a responsibility to be a light and to shine this light to a lost and a very dark world. But the reality is this: many Christians are falling asleep. Many Christians are allowing their light to be dimmed down. And you know what happens? Even tonight, because we've worked today, we're tired, it's been a long week, I know a lot has gone on. If I turn down all these lights, if I turned off the main lights and I dimmed down the side ones, and I got it just barely a little light in here, and then I began to talk like this, probably within 10 minutes, Jake would be, Brother Jordan back there, went to work early this morning, didn't you, Brother Jordan? He'd be nodding yes at me, falling asleep. We'd all begin to be drowsy because, listen, when you sit around in darkness, that's what happens. And if we don't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit every day and let our light shine, we get drowsy spiritually. We begin to fall asleep, because the oil's not burning. we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to bring this life into our life. So you have here, stay with me, you have the marriage call. Then number two, we have the midnight cry. The midnight cry. Some of you know the song. Well, it's not talking about the rapture. They may try to say it is, but that's not what the midnight cry is. The midnight cry is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But starting there in verse number six, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Well, what happens? Number one, the guests are aroused. They're sawing logs. They're sleepy. All of a sudden they hear, you know, they hear this hollering out through the streets. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Oh, they all begin to, you know, rub their eyes. It's time. He's here. There's a call to action. What happens to them all? There in verse number seven, and all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I got to get these things lit. Man, it's time to go. And they would join out at midnight in the darkest of time, which is how the tribulation ends. You talk about a dark time. We may think that we live in a dark time, but at the seventh year of the tribulation, we have no idea what darkness is when we have that. And there at the midnight cry, they all get stirred and they walk out and they begin and they have to light these lamps and they take their vessels and pour the oil and they'll follow the bridegroom all the way back to the bridegroom's house where he's already taken the bride, and there's going to be a reception and a rejoicing, the bridegroom with the bride, and all the friends will be gathered together and there'll be a marriage supper. Are you following me? And so here he calls them. The bridegroom cometh. And the wise virgins get out their lamps and they trim the wick and they pour the vessel into it and they light it in a great light. And they begin to head out to meet the bridegroom. But the five foolish realize they don't have any oil. They've got the lamp. They are a vessel, but no oil. Everybody look at me. There's going to come a day when a lot of people will have had a Bible in their car, a Bible on the shelf, had sat in church and heard the scriptures. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within through faith and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's too late. And these five foolish, they begin to scurry around, and you'll see there in verse number 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Hey, can we borrow some oil? Can we borrow some? Our lamps, they won't light. Our vessels, they're empty. We don't have any oil. Can we have some of yours? No. Because folks, no one is saved on the coattails of anybody else. And I can't save you, and you can't save me. It is something that you personally must do for yourselves. So they're sent away. Go take care of yourself. And they run out trying to find oil. But we're going to see it's too late. The groom arrives there in verse number 10. It says there, verse number 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The bridegroom comes. He gathers the friends of the bridegroom, and they follow him, and they go to this marriage supper. And then some of the most ominous words in the Bible. And the door was shut. If you're like me, you think about the ark. When God shut the door. And once he shut the door, there was no more time. In this parable, once the bridegroom shut the door, there was no hope. You see, next, a mistaken claim. In verse number 11, verse 11 and 12, you see an appeal made. Afterwards came also the other virgins, these foolish virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The door shut, and they were on the wrong side. If you're sitting here tonight, young person, adult, if you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. There's still time. We're still here. The Word of God is still being preached. you've heard the truth. You say, well, I'm just going to put it off. Maybe I'll do it later. You might find yourself one day on the wrong side of the door, believing a lie, having waited too long. The bridegroom says, I know you not. And then we have in verse number 13 the application. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For Israel, they need to be ready. For you and I, the application for us, we're going to bump it up a little bit, but the rapture is going to take place at any moment. Could be today, could be next week, could be next year, but it is an imminent occurrence. It could happen at any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? You say, well, I know who he is. I have the scriptures. I'll get back to it later. You may not have a later. And you and I say, well, I am saved, so this message doesn't apply to me. If we're saved tonight, we ought to take note from some foolish people here. We ought to take note that if we are these vessels and we have the lamp, then we need to keep that lamp burning. We need to be that light. The only way we can do that is not by getting a doctorate. It is not by being kind to people. It is the way that we shine that light is by being filled every day with the Holy Spirit of God. We must surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God. We must leave ourselves surrendered to the Spirit of God. We must ask the Spirit of God to use us and burn and be a light through us. If we hold that back, things will get dark. We will get sleepy. Paul said it many times, it's now time to awake out of sleep. Stir up the gift that is within you. We can become drowsy. We can come and sit through church and just be another sermon, another song service, another offering, another invitation, and go home and do it again. And do it again and do it again. We can be sitting in these pews, spiritually drifting off. Not saying we're not saved. Those wise virgins, they had their vessels, they had the lamp, and they had the oil, but they still fell asleep. You and I can do that. What we ought to want to do is shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every young person in this room ought to be saying, Holy Spirit, teach me, use me, help me to grow. I give myself to you. Every adult ought to surrender our life and let the Holy Spirit burn within us and we be the right light in this dark world. I watched one of those crazy videos online the other day. Someone posted it. Some person had charcoal lighting fluid. Anybody else see this? It was awesome. And they were like, putting it all in the grill. It was a propane grill. That thing exploded, man. It was awesome. And, everything just saw a giant burst of light. And the reality is this, every one of us ought to want to shine just like that for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to just engulf ourselves in the oil of the Holy Spirit. Closing thoughts. Why in the world did 600,000 people run out of gas in the cars that we drive today? Here's three thoughts as we close. Number one, they don't believe the warning signs. Ding, ding. Number two, everything's okay. The car's driving just fine. I don't need to stop. The car's rolling, engine's purring. I'll be okay. Number three, I've got plenty of time. Well, for over 600,000 people, it didn't happen. Now, that's just cars and gas, but let's be honest, same things going on spiritually in a lot of people's lives. A message like tonight, and I know I'm not talking about the message was awesome. The Word of God is powerful. And I know how it spoke to me in studying this week. The Lord led me to this verse on Monday. I read it Monday. I read it Tuesday. I read it Wednesday. I read it today. I went over and over and over it and got the message together this afternoon. I knew it's what the Lord would have for me. The fact is this, I can grow dim. If I don't keep that fire burning, if I don't allow myself to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I can know, have all the warning signs around me. I can just say, well, life is fine. I'm just cruising on. Life is good. I'm okay. And my light be dim. Maybe you're lost. You can say, I got plenty of time, preacher. You don't know that. What is your life? It's a vapor. It's here for a moment. Vanisheth away. Let's not be foolish. Let's be wise. May we have the lamp. May our vessels be filled. And may we shine and be looking for the return of our heavenly bridegroom. Let's pray, Father.